Today, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, the Old Testament reading comes from 1 Kings, chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on a hot stone and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4. "This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him, because he had said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? And how does he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that everyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message, it was the gospel lesson. St. Augustine said that God shaped the heart with a hole in it, a God-shaped hole. And he said, throughout our lives, we try to fill that hole with various things. He argued that human nature basically had two needs. It was in search of something, something above the person themselves. And he also said that people seek security, that there is something beyond this life. Leonard Sweet, a Christian professor and author, said, "There is an explosion of America seeking spiritual truth. He calls them day trippers asking for direction, scouting the horizon for hope, wonder, and a way out of the maze of aimless living. People want purpose." Now, this is connected. Just give me a second. How much do you guess is spent on Twinkies every year? You want to shoot out a number? Floored me when I found out. $500 million a year in this country on Twinkies. Those delicious little yellow sponge cakes that never spoil. You know they have the original Twinkie yet? And supposedly you can still squeeze it and it bounces back. The absolute hey, when we go to Mars, that's what we should pack the spaceship full of. It'll last the 2 years there and the 2 years back. They can eat Twinkies for 4 years. It won't kill them. All right. Do you know how much you spent on chocolate cake? Try a billion, not chocolate cake, just chocolate in general. $1 billion. Fast food, $117 billion. Then you wonder why when they're building here in Franklin, we always seem to get another fast food restaurant. And it's because we spend $117 billion a year. And all we get out of all these things is a sugar fix that goes away and then we need a fix again. It's something we're trying, not saying we're trying to fill a hole in our life by eating Twinkies or chocolate or things like that, but just look at how much money is spent on those things that really don't matter. Some try to fill that hole by having a shiny new car, which only leaves them with what? Payday loan? Speaking of cars, I am amazed that when you drive off the lot, it loses, what, a quarter of its value? Now, how is that possible? See, I guess brand new cars don't mean that much to me. Sorry to those who it does. Some try to fill their lives with a romantic affair and find out all they have done is brought upon guilt and destroyed relationship. Or kids, they got to have the latest toy, whatever that is, and does it really fill the basic needs of life? No, they end up with a toy box full of toys they hardly ever play with. When harmony with God is lost, that hole in the human heart still longs to be filled. It's kind of like spring breakers. They think that hole in their heart, they just go down to Florida or Mexico and they fill it with the wonderful golden elixir of life, that it'll pay off and make their life better. Any different than the biblical times? No. When Paul went to Athens, he found dozens of temples. He went to Corinth and he found nearly two dozen. Things haven't changed one bit. People are still trying to fill the void. Some people look to the government to fill the void. Oh, how many times do you hear people say, the government should fill in the blank, take care of fill in the blank. But is that really the solution? Either. Life itself will drag us away from what is most important, what the heart desires most. Excuse me. A quote I found says it was in the Garden of Eden, not at Watergate, that a device called a cover-up was first invented. Even Adam and Eve were trying to fill that hole. Perfect relationship with God, but they still felt a hole in their heart that needed to be filled. Jesus wrote to Corinth that God placed all of our sins on Jesus. The fact that Jesus dies as our substitute to free our soul from the wrath of God and all of our broken ethics of life is opposed and mocked by our secular culture. I find it ridiculous that we do that. Excuse me. From Colossians chapter 1, once you are alienated from God, Paul then continues, but now God has brought us back as his friends, reconciled each of us through the blood of Christ, shed on the cross to present us holy in his sight, without spot or blemish, free from accusation, if we continue in your faith. Harmony with God is a full acceptance that gives us true peace. When we have harmony with God, God is saying, I completely accept you, and now I will remold you and make you the holy person that I see you to be. The second basic need is to know that there is eternal life. And as I said, some people try to fill their lives with all the shining little things about out there, and I've talked about some of them already. Or they'll seek the latest religious fad. You know, take a look at our glorious Lutheran church overall. We're losing members because people are going to the fad churches that spring up, rise up, have a life expectancy of about 10 years, and then they collapse, and somebody else comes along, says, I got the latest thing for worship services. But it doesn't fill the ultimate needs. See, the most fantastic event in human history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Absolutely connected to our eternal life. Because he rose again, we know that we will rise also. That his suffering and death removed God's wrath on us. From Philippians 3, because the soul never dies, Jesus has promised that our body and soul will be reunited at his return and will receive our glorious, here's the part from Philippians, our glorified resurrection body, fashioned like his glorious body. Last few weeks, we've been studying Mark chapter 6. Finally, you notice we moved on to a different book. But Jesus has fed the 5,000. He's walked on the water. I love it. The people, after the feeding of the 5,000, the people wanted him so much that they commandeered boats. Now read in a commandeer. They stole them. See, there were Detroiters in the Old Testament. All right, they hotwired the boats. They got in, they sped across the Sea of Galilee to find out where Jesus was. They wanted to know where the Messiah was. Miracles had attracted the crowds. But their soul was hungry for the wrong thing. They didn't have that personal connection yet to God. Jesus said to the devil in the wilderness, repeating a passage from Deuteronomy, that man does not live by bread alone. The people who came to seek Jesus wanted a bread king, somebody who would give them something for free. They thought that was the answer to life, free bread. Gee, have things changed at all? Free? I am convinced that if I was a politician, that if I could give every man, woman, and child in this country $100 a week, I could do anything I wanted. I could be the worst miserable dictator, and the vast majority of people would just knuckle under. I'm just enjoying the power trip for a second, all right? They were addicted to the free stuff. Gimme, 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 gimme. That was their thinking. They didn't see Jesus as their intimate friend. Jesus says, do not work, do not seek for the food that spoils, but seek food that endures to eternal life. That will fill the hole in our heart. That'll take care of the lost happiness. By the way, one way to stay connected to Christ and build up that, to build up our relationship with Him is through worship. Rick Warren, who's got the very large church, I forget where it is exactly, writes in his book, love God with all your heart and soul. Worship is submission to God and imitating the behavior and words of Jesus. Robert Capon wrote, another Christian author, the Messiah was not going to save the world by miracles, band-aid interventions, a storm-calmed sea, a crowd fed there, a mother-in-law cured back down the road. Rather, humanity would be saved by the mystery of His perfect sacrifice on a blood-stained cross. Bread in the Bible is oftentimes used as a symbol for life itself. And the people, by the way, in the Old Testament were hunting for something more than just bread. They did understand that they needed a Messiah. Jesus says that I am the bread of life. He's inviting us to absorb His teaching, His value, His very being. He's talking about to us that He wants us to totally assimilate His words into our lives, His passion into our life, His resurrection into our life. What did Jesus have to say? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. You know, when we celebrate communion here, take, eat, this is my body. There's nothing more of a profound teaching in the church than the fact that when we eat His body, we are eating the bread of life. When we take the wine, we are drinking the water that'll make us never thirst again. That's what it is. It's the body and blood of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the invisible presence of Christ known to each one of us. It's the Holy Spirit's role to point us to fill that hole in our heart with Jesus. Harmony with God begins when we start having harmony with those around us and our fellow man and those nearest us. Let's try that again in English. This is how life works. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. But the vine needs the branches to bear fruit. See, there's a yearning in every human heart to have the Creator within them. Every human heart longs for that. Jesus responds with, I am the bread of life. And I encourage you to listen for the voice of Jesus speaking to your heart as well. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.